In the name of Jesus, amen. Names are supposed to mean something. That's why I just said in the name of Jesus and crossed myself, because names are supposed to mean something. In the Bible and in the church, they actually do. So today people pick names for their children because they like how they sound, or because it's a family name, or because it's a Norwegian name and they're Norwegian, or a German name and they're German. But in the Bible, names mean something. Look at Abraham, not that one, but Abraham in the Bible, it means father of many nations. So that every time that name, Abraham, was spoken, the people could remember God's promise to Abraham that he would make him a father of many nations. The name was the promise. And this actually was the promise of Jesus, who says himself that when he is lifted up on the cross, he will draw all nations to himself, and who sends his apostles and says to them, make disciples of all nations. That's the promise that they knew when they heard this name, Abraham, father of many nations. It's beautiful. Or look at Samuel. The name means God hears. So that every time Hannah looked at her little Samuel and said, I love you, Samuel, she was remembering how God answered her prayer. God heard her when she wept and begged to him to give her a baby. He heard, he answered, and the very name of her child, Samuel, God hears, told her that. And the same goes with the name of Jesus. It means something. It means the Lord saves. That's the name the angel commanded Joseph to give him, as we just heard in the Alleluia verse. You shall call his name Jesus. And then he gives a reason for calling him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So that every time you say the name Jesus, every time you call upon it, you are calling upon the God-man whose very name is a promise to save you. His name doesn't mean the Lord condemns. It doesn't mean the Lord is angry. It doesn't mean the Lord threatens. When you approach Jesus trusting in his name, you are approaching the God who will not condemn you and will not threaten you or be angry with you, but will forgive you and love you and save you from your sins and from everything that could hurt you, because that is his name. So it's an absolutely beautiful thing that Jesus receives this name when he is circumcised on the eighth day from his birth. His name is the Lord Saves, but how is this Lord going to save you? Well, he shows you. He shows you when he's still a baby. He sheds his blood. He obligates himself to obey all the law from his birth, to be the perfect man, to be your substitute. That's what circumcision is. It's not just the shedding of blood, but as St. Paul says it, I tell you that anyone who is circumcised has become a debtor to obey the whole law. Jesus became a debtor to obey the whole law. And he did it because his name is Jesus. The Lord saves. And this is how he saves us. He lives perfectly for us. So consider, and this is a beautiful thing to consider on the first day of the year, as we have our New Year's resolutions, consider how full and complete this salvation is, so that you don't doubt it, not today, not ever. The Lord saves us first by shedding his blood for us, so that everything wicked that you've ever done or said or thought, all the times that you doubted God or forgot about him, every nasty thing you've said to hurt others, every selfish thought and action, all of it is laid on this Jesus. And he sheds his blood to pay the price of God's wrath against you. The shedding of his blood on the eighth day of his birth at his circumcision, this is the down payment. It's the security for the blood that will flow on Calvary, that will pour out from head and feet and hands and side, the blood that will stream from his very pores as God pays himself for what his sinful creatures have done. What love is this? What kind of saving? When you call on Jesus, his name is the promise to you. I am not here to be a terror to you, to drudge up your guilt. I am the one who has borne it in my body and in my soul, who saves you by shedding my blood for you. And you see it already there in the circumcision when his name is given, Jesus, the Lord saves. And it is more than this. Circumcision also obligates a man to obey all the law, to be perfect. And Jesus saves you by living your life in your place, by being perfect for you. So all the holes in your life, all the imperfections, all the things you should have said and done and thought, every time you have failed, every time you have become angry when you should have been patient, every time you have gossiped when you should have kept silent, every time you should have spoken, but you held your tongue because you feared man's opinion more than God's, every time you lusted when you should have been pure, every time you were terrified of death when you should have been eager and excited for heaven, all of it, Jesus atones for, because he lives it, every bit of it, perfectly. His innocence, his pure words, his entire life of love to his Father and love to all around him, his firm and unbending commitment to God's word, his gentleness, his mercy, this fills every hole in your life. It covers every stain. It dresses every wound. It beautifies all ugliness. When you call on Jesus, his very name promises you that he is your purity. He is your innocence. He has lived for you, and he lives now for you. The Lord saves. His name says it. And his circumcision shows it, and his life lived it. Names mean something in the Bible. This is true also of the devil, the fallen angel who hates God and hates his Christians. Every horrible thing that we see going on in the world, families fighting and breaking up, divorce rates skyrocketing, children neglected because their parents live life for themselves, the slaughter of the unborn, the praise of things that should not even be spoken out loud. The devil is behind it all. And his name tells you that, because his name is devil. His name is Satan. And they both mean, these names, basically the same thing. Devil means slanderer. And Satan means accuser. He slanders by telling lies about God and about us. So he convinces people of the most absurd things. It really is absurd. I was listening to NPR the other day, and this man just asserts with finality the fact that a huge comet hit the earth and destroyed all the animals, or all the dinosaurs. Just find me the comet. Give me some evidence. But they just assert it as truth, absurd things, just to defend their theory of evolution. And the devil's behind this. He tells people to find their happiness in serving themselves, and especially in indulging and obsessing in their lowest appetites, especially their sexual appetites, which has never, ever made anyone happy. It's absurd to think it would. The devil makes people believe they evolved from slime, that there is no creator of heaven and earth, only an aimless and meaningless existence. Which, by the way, if you simply go on an elk hunt for 3 days, you will see in the mountains that there is most definitely a creator. It's absurd. But then he goes on and he tells them that since there is no creator, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. God didn't make you a man. He didn't make you a woman. He's not there. So you have to define yourself, who you are. You be you. God didn't make you a husband or wife either, so don't worry about it. He didn't make you a son or a daughter, so you owe no obedience to anyone. He lies about all this. That's what the devil does. He's a slanderer. And he inserts these lies into schools and into government and on your screens and into your life. And so he leads people to despair, into misery and meaninglessness, which is his life. That's what he is. He's rightly named. He's a slanderer and he's a liar. And then when he's done all his lying, he accuses. That's what Satan means. It means accuser. And he accuses you. He holds everything bad you've ever done in front of you, and he tells you God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you, and it's your fault because you've not acted like God's child. You've been selfish and you've been mean and you've been rude and you know it. Look at the last year. Look at 2022. Look how many times you've lusted and coveted and been discontent and complained and took joy in repeating gossip and worried about money and lost your temper and forgot about your God. forgot to pray, forgot to read his word, the devil accuses you and he calls you unworthy of God. And so you call on the name of Jesus because it means something. And you commit yourself again in this new year always to call on his name throughout every day of the year. And you admit it. You say, yes, the accusations are true. I have lived as if I mattered most. I have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. I am a sinner. I am sorry. I want to do better. Lord, save me. And Jesus saves. It's his name. He forgives every sin. He covers up all shame. And then he speaks the truth. Of course you haven't deserved it by your life. Of course you haven't earned it. Why else would Jesus come into this world? Why else would God become a man? Why else would he shed his blood? Why else would he be called Jesus? Except to save you, to make you worthy, to give you his righteousness and take all your sins away and to crush the devil and all his lies and establish the truth in your life. You are a Christian. And that is a powerful name. And it means something too. It means you belong to Christ. It means you are a son of God. And God named you a Christian. The devil is a liar when he tells you you are unworthy. God spoke it. God put his name on you, and he puts his name on you every single Sunday. He said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He called you his child and he meant it. And he called himself your Father and he is. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit preaches. He joined you to Jesus so that everything Jesus has is yours. If Jesus is a son, then you are a son, an heir of eternal life, beloved of God. He gave you his spirit and the power of the spirit. By the power of the spirit, you confess the name, the saving name of Jesus, the name that makes you worthy of everlasting life, the name that silences the devil and speaks the truth of God's unfailing love. And the name Christian gives you a life of total purpose. Look at Jesus. He knew exactly what he was to do because his name told him. Circumcision told him. He was to live his life to save us, bleed to do it, bleed to redeem us, and rise again to claim us as his own church. And love, the love of God, moved him to all of it. And your name, Christian, and your baptism, which gives you that name, Christian, they tell you who you are and why you're here and what your future is and how to live your life. You are God's child. The great problem with the attack on the family and the attack on the fourth commandment, which is the devil's attack in our day, is that people are beginning to lose sight of what it means to be a child. What does this mean? How can I be a child? How can I be part of a family? The expectations for children to obey their parents is being erased. The idea that parents are to discipline their children is almost gone. That parents are supposed to love their children by keeping gross and properly adult things away from them to preserve their innocence. That's being replaced with sexual education in kindergarten and explicit material in children's libraries. And so when you lose sight of what it means to be a child in a family in this world, it can also be very hard to understand what it means to be a child of God. And that's why the devil attacks the family so hard. Because God made the family to mimic his relationship with us. Look at the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a family name. And we reflect this family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by having children under a father and a mother. And when we lose the family, we lose what God gave us to understand what it means to be his child and what it means to belong to his church. If you look at your intro it for today, if you read it through again, you'll see the respect that is paid to Jerusalem. Well, that's not just to a city, it's to the church. The respect that's paid to the mother, the church, is the respect you also pay to the Father, to God. So learn again what it means to be a child, both in your family and in the church. You are a child of God. And that means you have his honor. That's what it means, first of all. You have his honor. You have everything he has. Everything in all creation that he made belongs also to you. Just as my backyard is for my children's enjoyment, and my money I spend for them, and the antelope I shot, I feed to them, and they like it. What I have is theirs, to give them in due time. And so for you to be a child of God means everything. Heaven and earth are yours, to be shared with you in due time. Because you are Christ's, and Christ possesses all things. And this is not just bodily things, it's spiritual things, forgiveness and righteousness and innocence and purity. It's all yours. Whatever Christ has is yours because you are a child of God and a co-heir with Christ. That's what it means to be a child. You are God's child, and that means also that you respect him and you obey him. Not because you're a slave. You're not a slave. You're a child, and you know that his commandments are good. Just as I tell my kids not to eat cookies before dinner, to go to bed and to get a good night's sleep, or they're going to be cranky in the morning, to not run in the street, or they're going to get hit by a car, to never talk back to me or to their mother, or I'll wallop them, to never fight with one another. These aren't rules to hurt them. They're not rules to torture them or simply to assert my power over them. No, they're commands that will make them happy, that will protect them from pain and protect them from danger. God's commands are good for us. Honor your father and your mother. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't gossip. Be content with what God gives. Pray, go to church. Why? Because God wants you to check all the appropriate religious boxes? No, because he's your father and he wants your good and his commands are for your good and you'll see it in your life. You'll see it in the new year. And a father also disciplines his child. That's the way it works in a home. It's wrong and it's cruel not to discipline children. Our God tells us to do it. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need to know that mom is in charge. They need to know that dad is in charge, not them. That mom and dad know what's best, not them. They're children. God is our father. We are his children, and he disciplines his children. He knows we are children, that our desires can be pulled up and they can be pulled down, that we thirst after what will hurt us, obsess over things that are bad for us, throw tantrums and fits. And so he disciplines us, and he gives us pain, and he gives us hardship, not because he wants to hurt us. No true father would ever want to hurt his child, but because he loves us. And he wants us to learn that he is in control and that he does want our good, that he knows what's best in our life and that he'll give it to us when he's made us ready to receive that good. And finally, the child is always his father's child, always his mother's child. That never goes away. I'm a grown man with children of my own, but when my dad and mom come to visit, I am as surely their child as the day I was born, and I know it. And I know they love me, and I talk to them with the familiarity and love that only a child can give to his father and mother. And so it is with you and your God. You're a child of God. You're a Christian, and you know him, and he knows you. And that doesn't end. It doesn't stop. You don't grow out of it. He doesn't stop loving you. He doesn't stop forgiving you. He doesn't stop having mercy. He doesn't stop caring for you and thinking of you, whether it's through sorrow or through joy. He is with you now, and he wants you with him forever. And Jesus is the guarantee of all of this. He is the true son of his father, who obeyed his father out of pure love for him and for us, his brothers and sisters, and came to save us. That's his name. The Lord saves. And that remains forever in 2022 and 2023, every single year. So God grant you by the power of his Holy Spirit to call on this name throughout this year and live your lives for him as he gave his life for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand.